We're in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, and Luke, chapter 11. We are going through what we refer to as the Lord's Prayer, and so please give careful attention now to the reading of God's very Word. Matthew, chapter 6, verse 13. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And the end of Luke chapter 11 verse 4, the end of that verse says, "And lead us not into temptation." Thus ends the reading of God's very Word. Again, let's pray. Father, come now and preach the gospel to our hearts, Lord Jesus, by your blessed Spirit, that, Lord, not only would we be taught better how to pray, but, Lord, what you would have us to believe and do and be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in Christ we pray. Amen. Well, we have been looking now for a couple of weeks at this last petition in the Lord's Prayer. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we have spent a couple of weeks introducing this petition, as well as beginning to look now at what is the reference here. What is this petition all about? What is this reference but deliver us from evil? And if you would turn with me in your Bibles over to the book of 1 John. 1 John. Here we see a passage of Scripture that describes the Christian life in terms of us growing up in the Lord Jesus spiritually. And we see the experience of God's people that when we are first converted, when we are first joined to the Lord Jesus Christ, God describes that as us being born again, that God has caused us to be born again. And you can think about a little baby, that we're a little one in the Lord Jesus. Well, as people physically grow up, that's what the Lord uses now to describe these various spiritual stages. And I want you to notice in that context, the Lord giving, kind of focusing on different aspects of evil that the Lord Jesus Christ delivers us as His people from. In 1 John chapter 2, and we'll begin reading in verse 12. "I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know Him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever." And so here we see this description now of a Christian. We're born again, joined to Jesus. We're little children. We become young people. And then we are mature and older. And in that context, we are growing to love our God more and more and hating and having victory over evil. And notice that in these verses, we see several aspects of evil being referred to. Twice in these verses, describing little children, young men, old men, we have a reference to the evil one, the devil. And then in verse 15, the realm of darkness, referred to as the world. And then in verse 16, the flesh. And so that's why in our larger catechism, in its excellent exposition of the Lord's Prayer, we read in question 195, what do we pray for in the sixth petition? In the sixth petition, which is, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, acknowledging that the most wise, righteous, and gracious God, for various holy and just ends, may so order things that we may be assaulted, foiled, and for a time led captive by temptations, that Satan, the world, and the flesh are ready powerfully to draw us aside and ensnare us, and that we, even after the pardon of our sins, by reason of our corruption, weakness, and want of watchfulness, are not only subject to be tempted and forward to expose ourselves into temptations, but also of ourselves unable and unwilling to resist them, to recover out of them, and to improve them, and worthy to be left under the power of them. We pray that God would so rule, overrule the world and all in it, subdue the flesh, and restrain Satan, order all things, and bestow and bless all means of grace, and quicken us to watchfulness in the use of them, that we and all his people may by his providence be kept from being tempted to sin, or if tempted, the hour of temptation, or when fallen, raised again and recovered out of it, and have a sanctified use and improvement thereof, that our sanctification and salvation may be perfected. Satan trodden under our feet, and we fully freed from sin and temptation and all evil forever and ever. And so we have begun looking now at these three sort of categories that we see in Scripture that the Catechism makes reference to. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And we started sort of in reverse order looking at the evil one himself. When we pray in this last petition, we've asked the Lord to forgive us our sins, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven those who trespass against us. That's the fifth petition. And so this last petition has to do and focuses on how we will be kept, how we will make it between here and heaven and get to heaven. And it is that we need Jesus to hang on to us and to continue to be applying his saving work and his powerful presence to be our Redeemer and our Master and Lord, to love us and care for us and nurture us. And these enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, are indeed insidious foes. And even after we become children of God, as we're going to see, the remnants of the old self still are present this side of heaven. And so we're praying in this petition that Jesus would have mercy upon us, that he would keep us from the world and the flesh and the devil, that when we stumble because of our own carelessness, our own coldness, our own hardness of heart, that He would graciously come and revive us. That He would come and apply afresh to us a renewed victory in Him and fellowship with Him. And so the ultimate expression of this we saw last week is that the Lord would deliver us from Satan ultimately. That on that great judgment day, Satan and the angels that followed him in the futile rebellion against Almighty God, that the Lord Jesus will cast him into the lake of fire forever and ever. Now tonight we want to look at these other two categories that are referenced here, the world and the flesh. And so if you would turn with me, first of all, to the book of James, chapter 4. James, chapter 4. And here we have a description of the realm of darkness, the world. Satan is the leader of the realm of darkness. But he's not the only foe that we face, as we saw there in 1 John 2. Evil also expresses itself, not only this fallen angel, the devil, but the demons of hell. But there is this realm of darkness. And so in James chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse 1. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Now, the world here is referring to the realm of darkness. It's not referring to the physical being of the earth, because God made the earth and everything in it. And God declared it very good. Now, yes, it's fallen. Jesus is going to cleanse the physical earth from all of the effects of sin. But this is not talking about the physical earth. Here the term world is used to describe the realm of darkness. And God says that His people ought not love the world or the things in the world. As 1 John 2 describes, said, don't love the world or the things in the world. Whoever would love the Father, you can't love the Father and the world. And James 4 says, if you're a friend of the world, you're at war with God. And so it's this realm of darkness. And when a person becomes a Christian, the Lord delivers us from the world, from the realm of darkness, and transfers us to a different orbit of our existence. Over in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, the Lord gives us a description of what happens when a person becomes a Christian. In Colossians chapter 1, we read in verse 11, may you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. And so here's this reference now to the world, to the realm of darkness. And here it's described the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption. And so praise God that the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the one who has the power and the authority. And when we are joined to Him, the Lord delivers us from the world and puts us in a different realm. We now are rescued to belong to our Lord Jesus Christ. And you remember, we looked a couple of Sunday mornings ago at a very familiar passage of Scripture, an invitation. And we see over in Matthew chapter 11, this invitation. Jesus, in verse 28 of Matthew 11, He says, "Come unto Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light." And so this realm of the Lord Jesus that we sang about, that Him, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Here's this picture of the Lord Jesus Christ reaching down His mighty hand and plucking us from the realm of darkness and now saving us and adding us to His realm. To the kingdom of our Savior, the kingdom of His beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His blessings flow far as the curse is found. That's what we say. And so when we pray, deliver us from evil, we're not only praying, Lord, deliver us from the evil one who would lie to us and seek to entice us to war against the living God, but we're praying, Lord, don't let my heart be drawn again to the realm of darkness, to that realm, to that force of evil and darkness that hates God. And would stand against everything that is good and true and right. No, we need Jesus, and He is the only one who can deliver us from the world. Now, over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, we see this description of what we used to be. We used to be willing participants of the realm of darkness. That's how insidious sin is. That's how evil our hearts used to be, that here is the good God, and we willingly participated in rebellion against Him. Look at Ephesians 2. Here's what we used to be apart from the grace of God. Verse 1. And you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked. We willingly walked in rebellion against God, following the course of what? Of this world. We followed the realm of darkness willingly and openly, turning our back on God and everything that was good. That's how fallen man is apart from the grace of God. Following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so when we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We are praying, Lord, I need you to protect me, Lord Jesus, from the lies of the evil one. Lord, don't let my heart be tricked. Lord, don't let me give my ears to the lies of this hideous foe. Lord, don't let my heart be enticed back to the glitz and glamour of the world. When I was young, we went to the circus one time. And from a distance, I will never forget seeing one of the actors. It was a woman who rode on a horse. And I was just amazed how beautiful this woman looked. I was just a little boy, but I mean, she just looked so beautiful, and she was just so amazing. And she did a pretty amazing act in the circus, because she had braided her hair, and there was this big hook, and her hair, she hooked her hair up to this big rope, and the horse went round and round, and finally she was just flying in the air and by her hair. Well, I was really taken with that. I mean, I thought, wow, this is amazing. And we ended up, I needed to go to the restroom. And when I went to the restroom with my dad after this act was over, we bumped into this person. And I'm telling you, the makeup from a distance was amazing. But when you got up close to this woman, I mean, she was, her eyes were all sunk back in her head, and she just looked awful. And that's how Satan is. Satan appears like an angel of light, and that's how the world is. The world would put itself forth as the glitz and the glamour of all the things that the world has to offer. And you can think about Hollywood in our day and time. You think about Hollywood and all of the splendor and the majesty. You can think about how people parade themselves about as, now here is somebody great. But over and over and over you learn about, when you look at close inspection, it's full of death and sorrow and destruction. It's full of brokenness because they're at war with the living God. The world, and God warns us as His people, don't love the world. Don't love the things of the world. Don't be drawn to popularity. You know, that's what the world focuses on. The world focuses on, you need to be approved by men. Well, the Lord says, His people, that's not what we live for. We don't live for the world. We don't live for the approval of man. We live to please God. The world focuses on possessions. The person who wins is the person who gains the most possessions. Well, Jesus asked a question. What does it profit a man if he should gain what? The whole world, but lose or forfeit his very soul. That's what the world has to offer. I will give you all of the play pretties of the world, and you can have them and enjoy them. But apart from the Lord Jesus, it's all emptiness of emptiness. All is emptiness, says the preacher there in the book of Ecclesiastes. And Solomon testifies, he said, listen, I had everything the world had to offer, but I was an empty man because I did not have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who would build their lives on the world are building on sand. And when the storms of life come, that house will come crashing down. And so this realm of darkness, the glitz, the glamour of the world, possessions, popularity, illicit pleasure, that's what the world has to offer. You can have whatever you want, whenever you want. That's what the world offers. And it's all built on the lies of Satan. And it will destroy and maim those who follow the world. They do not have peace with God in this life. They have a taste of what is to come. And when they leave this life, those who have loved and lived for the world end up in eternal hell. And Jesus came to deliver us from the world. And so this petition, we are saying, Lord Jesus, I need you to keep me from the evil one, and don't let my heart be enticed to go back to the cesspool of the world. The whole idea of the world, why would we be attracted to the world? Well, that brings us then to the third aspect of evil. And all of these things are very related. Satan, he's the one who would encourage us to rebel against God, this realm of darkness, and the flesh. Now, what do we mean when we talk about the flesh? Well, apart from the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and again, the Bible uses the term flesh in two different aspects, just like world. It can either refer to the human body, our flesh, or it can refer to the evil, the flesh in that sense. And so let's look at several passages of Scripture in terms of how it's used in that way. If you'll turn with me over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And here we have a passage where the Lord is using the term flesh to refer not to our human bodies. As a matter of fact, we are reminded Jesus loves us body and soul. And He is redeeming us body and soul. Now, when we trust in the Lord Jesus, our souls are redeemed and made right, but our bodies await that great resurrection day when Jesus will come again and raise our bodies and give us a glorified, new, revived body. These same bodies will be made like Jesus' glorified body that doesn't grow old, that doesn't have sickness, that will never experience death again. And so this term flesh now is not focusing on that we ought to hate our physical bodies. That's not what Scripture teaches. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Lord says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit and that we ought to take care of our bodies and take care how we use our bodies. And in that passage, it's talking about that we ought to be careful to not physically join ourselves with anybody except our own husband or wife, as God defines marriage in Holy Scripture. Well, here in Galatians chapter 5, let's look at this, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Now, he's talking about Christians. And what he's saying is that even though we have a new heart and we're a new creation in Christ, as we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if anyone is in Christ, we are what? A new creation. And even though we've got a new heart and we're a new creation in Christ, yet this side of heaven, we still struggle with the remnants, the remnants of the flesh. And so he goes on, verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law, under the condemnation of the law of God. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. And so the flesh is described and defined as what? Breaking God's holy commandments. That's what verse 20 and 21 is a catalog of examples of living against the revealed will of God, summarized in the holy commandments of God. That's the flesh. And this side of heaven, the Christian is in need of the Lord Jesus Christ continuing to deliver us from the remnants of the old sinful self. In verse 21, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And so this is the third aspect. Not only do we have the devil and the fallen angels, we have the realm of darkness, the world that wants to suck us back, but we also have the remnants of the old sinful person that still is present. Even though we are a people now who love Jesus, yet we still struggle with sin this side of heaven. And this petition, this sixth petition says, Lord, I'm looking to you to give me deliverance, to give me rescue, to be my champion, Lord Jesus, to come and to speak your word by your Spirit to my heart, that I wouldn't listen to the lies of the evil one. I wouldn't yield to his temptations. Lord, the realm of darkness of the world, Lord, don't let me be sucked into their gravitation field. Let's look at one other passage over in the book of Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And here, I call this my Play-Doh passage. When my children were younger, I used to love when they would play with Play-Doh. When we first started, we even had some clay. Clay's a little harder to work with. But Play-Doh, it's just so fun. I mean, you can make all kinds of things. It does make a mess. But Play-Doh, here is this picture of being pressed into a mold. Pressed into a mold. And God says that we ought not allow ourselves to be pressed into the world's mold. That's what we're talking about in this sixth petition. Look at Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to what? To this world, to the realm of darkness. What's politically correct? What's the popular thing to do? The immoral ways of thinking and living that are so prevalent in our culture. God calls upon us, instead of being Play-Doh pressed into the world's mold, we give ourselves to Jesus and beg that He would mold us into more and more His image. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And we're going to talk in next week and the week after about how God uses the means of grace to keep us from evil. The means of grace of us looking to Jesus and feeding upon Him and growing in Him. The Word of God, prayer, a corporate worship, all of the things that God says are the tools He uses to speak the gospel to our hearts. That's how He delivers us. That's how Jesus delivers us. But understand, Jesus is the deliverer. He's the only one who can deliver us from Satan. He's the only one who can deliver us from the world. He's the only one who can give us victory over the flesh. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the victor. There's victory in Jesus. And so we don't allow ourselves, by the grace of God, to be pressed into the world's mold. But we want to be those who know the Lord Jesus Christ more and more, and His saving presence and power. Over in the book of Romans, chapter 6, we won't look at this in detail tonight, but I want to just remind you that here is a passage that talks about how that even though the flesh is still present, yet we have victory in Jesus. And God calls upon us to be experiencing the resurrection power of Jesus more and more, to die to sin, to the remnants of the old self, the flesh, and to experience the resurrection power of Jesus. That's what we're praying for in the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from evil. We're saying, Lord, I'm no match for this foe, the evil one, the devil. And so, Jesus, I'm looking to You to protect me and keep me. Lord, I'm asking You to save me and make me Yours. I'm asking You to keep me and hold on to me. Lord Jesus, I need You to do what You did for Job and build that hedge of protection around me and my family. Lord, the evil one, I'm no match for him, but he trembles at Your name, Lord Jesus. That's what we're praying for in the sixth petition. We're praying, Lord, don't let the glitz and glamour of the world capture me in its gravitational field again. Don't let me be drawn little by little to love the world or the things in the world. Lord, don't let me be fooled and tricked by the evil one to think that evil is good. Lord, keep renewing my mind so that I love You, Lord Jesus, and I know You, and I love Your paths and what is good. Lord, don't let the world have me. Don't let it sink its claws into me and drag me. Don't let me be foolish and blind. When you see husbands and wives that are unfaithful to each other, the world has captured them. When you see young people that would give themselves to rebellion against their parents and not follow after the Lord Jesus, give themselves to just playing video games and living for self rather than being serious about pursuing life and growing up in Jesus and having a calling and laboring to serve the Lord Jesus as a mature man or woman. That's the world. That's what the world looks like. And the flesh, it's scary enough to have those two enemies, but on top of that, the flesh. And praise God, Jesus, those who are joined to Jesus, He has made us a new creation in Christ. And we, in Jesus, have the power to grow and to be transformed more and more into His image. To be putting to death the remnants of the old self, the flesh, and experiencing life and joy and blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is hope for husbands and wives. There is hope for parents. There is hope for brothers and sisters. There is hope for us in our callings. There is hope for our country if, but only if, we turn to Jesus and beg that He would deliver us, that He would be our Savior. Well, we will stop there tonight. We want to look at a couple of other aspects of this petition, but praise God, there is one who has the power to deliver us. His name is Jesus. Amen. Father, we ask that You would write these precious truths upon our hearts, that, Lord, we might experience victory over the evil one. We might be strong, like we read there in 1 John 2, to know Your word. And Lord Jesus, that You would give us victory over the devil more and more. Lord Jesus, we need You. Lord, we also beg that You would have mercy upon us, that You would continue to give us a hatred for the world and the things of the world, and that, Lord, we would not be pressed into the world's mold. Oh, Lord, don't let Satan, don't let the world have us. And, Lord, the remnants of the old sinful man, the old sinful woman, Lord, it wants to rear its head. Lord, continue to give us victory in You over remaining sin, that, Lord, we would remember that we have been crucified with You and that we are now dead to sin and we're alive in You, Lord Jesus, and that we would know Your powerful, saving, risen presence, Lord, to give us victory over sinful patterns, sinful thinking, sinful habits, sinful actions. Lord Jesus, we want to walk with You. We want to honor You, our King and our Savior. And so how we thank You for this precious prayer, Lord, that You taught Your disciples to pray. And bless us now as we close before we sing with this prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.